Welcome to Coast to Cast, a podcast on coastal science where we meet scientists and ask questions that don't usually appear in published papers. With this podcast, we want to give voices to many coastal scientists and engineers so we can meet them, at least virtually, and hear curious and less curious questions. My name is Ana Vila Concejo, and today I am having a chat with Rodolfo Silva Casarín. He's a full professor and researcher of coastal engineering at the UNAM, the Autonomous University of Mexico. His coastal research is extensive, but one could say that lately he's focusing on coastal restoration and coastal risk management. I met Rodolfo many years ago in a coastal engineering conference in Lisbon. I will not say the year, but we have been in touch ever since, and we have had many laughs together and many, many serious and not that serious conversations. Hola, Rodolfo. Thank you for agreeing to this interview. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And thank you for the invitation. I am very happy to be with you and to try to give at least my view about many topics, anything that you want to ask me.
Fantastic. Okay, so the objective of this podcast is asking some questions. Some of them are research and based, and some others are more personal. But we do try to keep it to about half an hour. So I think we should start because I know we are going to talk a lot. So let's go to the questions. My first question is, how did you start in coastal science?
Well, that is very interesting. My background is civil engineering. I started to work many years ago in the late 80s. Especially with rivers, and to try to build dams in order to provide water, not only for population, also for electricity generation. With the time, I start to move with the gravity movement to the coast. And part of the thing that I start to realize on those days is that sometimes we start to work with some idea, with some focus, and we are not conscious about these effects or these consequences that our work has. Sometimes we are looking only in this small scale, but sometimes the repercussions are in the large scale. Sadly, in one hand, but in the other, happily, on those days, a very strong cyclone hit the Mexican coast, Gilbert, in 1988. And with that, one of the problems that we have to face was a very chronic, very deep chronic erosion on the coast. And Cancun is very important in terms of the economic for tourism, and we have to face that problem on those days, and we didn't have any expert in Mexico. With the time, I had the opportunity to move to Spain for 5 years and to learn from my point of view, a very strong school of engineering. But on those days, was one of my big questions is that engineers normally we are trying to solve very specific problem with a specific view. One of the things that I had in my background was the ecosystems, how important the ecosystems are, and that big mistake that we normally realize that engineers normally believe that we can control the nature. And I think it's more efficient to work with the nature in the to go with the natural fluxes. And I can say that since 35 years ago, I've been trying to work in the same line as engineers, trying to provide good benefits for the human beings, but at the same time to try to be respect with the nature. That is the reason that I have perhaps another focus. I can say that is the right focus, because we can see the same reality from different views. And I think we have to put everything together in order to try to avoid to make big mistakes. And that is my beginning as an engineer, researcher, and the view that normally I have been working for more than 30 years.
Yeah, so after that you moved back to Mexico, yeah, And you had the opportunity to have an international career. You could have continued in Spain or perhaps go to another country, but you moved back to Mexico. So I understand maybe it was part of your funding conditions or not, but how is your career different because of that?
Yes, well, I have to say, I come back to Mexico in 1995. On those days, Mexico has a very deep crisis in terms of economic. The people that is more or less my age can remember that that crisis was called tequila effect, because a lot of economic pollution was induced by a bank crack in Mexico. And that, in one way, it was quite complicated, because the resources, the financial support was properly null. But in the other hand, was like to reset part of the system in Mexico and to start again. The beginning was different. I can say more difficult or easier than in other way, because I enjoy it. Sometimes when we have a challenge or we have a goal and we are able to achieve that goal, you never realize, you are not concerned how difficult or different it is with other people. The thing that I know now is that I've been working in an area in terms of the geographical condition, but also sociological, that is different, and give you another view about the world problem. Now that we are very involved with this climate crisis around the world, sometimes I realize that part of the thing is that in academia, we are looking especially problems from cold or extratropical areas. And one of the things is that we need a more holistic view, not only in terms of geographic, but also ecosystem, many, many things. And that is a great opportunity. And that doesn't matter, doesn't put, in my case, in the same road as the vast majority of researchers that are in developed countries. I have my proper goal, my proper objective in terms of academic researcher, because I am working with other kind of conditions.
Now, the next question is personal. So, how do you balance your life commitments, Rodolfo? Your personal life, your work life? Do you have several lives or just one?
No, I have several lives, I have to say. For example, my hobby are the mountains. I like to climb mountains, and my work is on the beach. That is different. I never spent my holidays on a beach, and I never do research on the mountains. It's something like I have these two parts, but my family enjoyed a lot both worlds. And that sometimes is an opportunity that my family is interested in my work, and also to have the opportunity during the holidays to go to other kind of environment. I don't know why, but because I am engineer, I like best to spend my time in natural environments, and to enjoy everything that is related to habitat, ecosystem, many things. And one of the things, I like to work, and I think I work a lot, but I never work when I am tired. That is the reason that I try to enjoy it as much as possible. And sometimes it's researcher, sometimes it's to be on the field, but also I enjoyed a lot being teaching or being doing some capacity building, something like that. That is a great opportunity that we have in the academia, that not everything is exactly the same. Every day is different, especially if we have to work with young people, because every people is different, and the interest, and that is something that, if you put in the positive way, is something that you bring to your family. that you have something like a new blood, doesn't matter that we have a white hair or wrinkled face, that is because in the spirit, we try to keep being young. One way that you have to enjoy everything that you do, even that you are not successful with something, because sometimes we learn a lot from mistakes.
That's a good point. And so when your kids were growing up and so on, so did you used to travel with them for work? Did you used to work weekends, or how did it work?
Well, normally it's one thing that I used to do until before the pandemic event. I used to work only in my office. If I had to stay more time there, I spend there. But I don't have at home any technical book, for example. Sometimes I bring my laptop to work, but it's something that is very, very specific. When I am at home, I try to enjoy or to do something that is related to my family, to the house, but trying to have no competition between my professional interests with my family. Now, during the pandemic, there were several things related to some changes. Now my two daughters live in another country. One of the things that we have to relearn is how to work at home here in Mexico. And I am trying to change and to be adapted, but it's something that we can come back to the previous situation. In my case, my daughter are living in other places.
So you already touched that your hobbies and are the mountains. Do you have any other hobbies that you want to tell us about, or that's it?
Well, I have several hobbies. The most important is, and that is, there are several reasons, but I enjoy to walk and to do some kind of sport. But in the other hand, it's also a healthy issue to have something that you can breathe clean air, or to renew ideas, or to think deeper. But on the other hand, also at home, I like to be part of the people that is painting, mending things in the bathroom, or doing the kitchen. I like cook and something like that. I don't like very complicated things. It's something that, for example, I learned when I was in Spain, that the kitchen can be very, very interesting, and is one way that you can share many things with other people. From the time that you spend buying things, cooking, eating, and something like that. Yeah, and it's something that I enjoyed in my life. And but normally I only have the opportunity to spend time for those hobbies some weekends. That is not continuous. It's something that perhaps that sometimes is very spare. That the reason that I enjoy it so much, that kind of activities.
Good. Okay, so we're going back a little bit to work, but still not full on research. So our area of research is quite a nice area of research. Like, people like each other and they're quite collegial, but there are like no area is perfect yet. So are there any changes that you can suggest to make it a better place?
There are many changes that we have to do. I think when I was at the university, every discipline was isolated to the other. I didn't have many experience working in transdisciplinary areas. And I think it's one thing that we have to do. Once, because it's one way to make less mistakes, but on the other hand, it's one way to be more flexible, because sometimes we are very close in order to try to understand what is the view, what is the view of a biologist or a sociologist, or the people that live close to the area that we work. And sometimes, that I think one of the things that we are dealing a lot now is with some problem related that we think that, for example, the coast is something that is static. And it's very dynamic and has been very dynamic always. And when we thought that we were able to start to understand many things, we realized that our ignorance was larger.
Okay, cool. Now, going back to research, can you tell us about your favorite paper or maybe a paper that changed the direction of your career or your life?
Well, there are, it all depends the which view you want to see. For example, I can say that the paper that was more difficult to write for me was 3 years ago when a friend of mine and me decided to write for kids, and we realized that we don't have the skills. And it's very, very complicated to find the proper words and the proper way. In fact, that paper, with the time, we put in English, and it's in Frontiers for Young Minds. But was very, very complicated, because when the people start to write, to read our first draft, say, you are too old to communicate with the kids. They have to language. You have to come back and to talk with your kids or with other people in order to understand. Now, I enjoyed a lot to have that possibility to learn another way to communicate. That is one way that I appreciate a lot. And perhaps another paper, I have the opportunity to read some very, I can say it all stuff, some books about ecosystem from the 19th century, and in fact to start to read the coastal engineering proceedings from the 50s. And one of the things that I start to realize that we are doing exactly the same, but in other way, that the science and technology is not changing a lot, that we are moving very, very slow. And I found a paper written by Per Brun in the early 70s that was like a summary of his experience. And the paper that I like best that I have written is update of his paper. I was working with some biologists like Shir Bauma or like Cosim Merachi, that is an engineer, people like that did try to put 10 ideas how to push to have healthy coastal systems. But even that, my background is more mathematics.
Ecosystems are important to you, that you told us that.
Yeah, I'm more complicated than maths.
You are indeed. Okay, now this is the perfect opportunity. Can you briefly explain one of your topics of research to our listeners?
Well, I have the opportunity with the time, because I am not 30th, on the 30th, but I now have something like different areas that I work in parallel. One of them is related to marine energy. I have been working a lot recently trying to develop technology to with the characterization of the resources, also with the environmental impacts, because it's very easy to say the world has to move to renewable energy, but in some places it's worse to try to use the energy that is in the nature, because the system are too fragile. I've been working in one of the things that we are trying to do at the same time is to work with people that has other background, for example, biology, sociology, economy, and trying to deploy technology in order to try to balance part of the energy matrix, especially in tropical countries. It's something that I have been working very hard in the last 8 years. Other area that I've been working recently a lot is in this way to try to work with biologists to try to provide them technology in order that restoration is not so expensive and also that is more effective. In fact, I had the opportunity to work with mangrove restoration, dune restoration. Now I have some projects that are related to coral protection. It's something that is very, very complicated, as you know, because you are more expert than me, that now the temperature of the sea is very high, and there are a lot of issues about that. And the problem is that in areas where we have corals, areas that sometimes we have a very strong episodic event, like cyclones, typhoons, hurricanes, and things like that. And the problem is that now they are very fragile, and we have to find the way to protect them, not only with the restoration. We need sometimes something physical in order that they have a window of opportunity to recover. It's something like we learned that in the 90s, we didn't do anything related to that, and that can help in order to preserve part of the this part. And in the other hand, I've been working with the touristic industry, how to move this way that, for example, in the Caribbean is very common to have massive resort in order to have something that can be more friendly with the environment in terms that they can respect part of the coastal or the most important coastal processes in order that they start to understand that they are selling the landscape, and the landscape is related to the health of the ecosystem, and the ecosystem depends a lot of this connectivity in very short distance. One of the things that I am very happy, my background is very strong, I think, in maths, and it's one way that I can work with field work and working with many data as you like, and also to try to develop, to adapt, or to use mathematical modeling in order to try to save time. I think in that way, I am very, very lucky that I am doing something that is not because I am very good. It's because the few things that I am able to do are on my responsibilities. And I am very happy that I don't have to do something that is not in the thing that I have some strength.
That's good. Hey, one of the last times that we spoke at a conference, you told me that some of the coral reef restorations that you were working with some biologists to do, that they were working really well. And I've been thinking, with the record temperatures that we have had, have they survived the summer?
Well, part of them are surviving. One of the things that we are working with some kind of success is not only, well, we start to work with this kind of artificial structure that can provide the shelter for the larvae, and the larvae can attach and to grow. In that part, has been working for more than 20 years. But now, one of the things that is making a big difference is to work with people from the chemist area in order to try to improve the materials. We start to make, for example, 2 years ago, some mistake trying to put, for example, in the material, antibiotics elements. Sometimes you have to put that, sometimes you have to mix up with that another kind of probiotics, sometimes you have to need to change this kind of the electric properties. Now in the team we are working together, people from the biology part, from the health areas, with the engineering, civil engineering or coastal engineering. But now that we have in the team people from the materials, I think the success is higher. And to me, that was a discover to see that sometimes it's more successful to work with somebody that doesn't understand the value part, but they have the knowledge to say, I need these kind of properties in terms of the electrics on in terms of that need a material that is hydrophobic or have a hydrophilic element, and they are able to provide some ideas. Well, we have to see what happens in the next 5, 10 years with the result, because it's possible that is one of the hypotheses that we have, that perhaps now the success looks like it's very good, but perhaps in 5 years we will discover that we made some mistakes, that we have some errors and so have to correct. That is part of the process of learning, is that sometimes you improve, but sometimes the results are not 100% successful.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And certainly we're going to have to somehow slow down these high temperatures and try to stop breaking temperature records every summer. Anyway, going back to Etofang, you have done a lot of fieldwork, lots of trips to different beaches in the world. What are the wildest field conditions that you have encountered?
That is very complicated when we are talking about fieldwork, because that happened essentially in developing countries, and not only in developing countries, also sometimes in developed countries, is that sometimes it's very difficult to find patient money. Sometimes you have money for a specific work on the field work, the project finish, you have to take all the instruments. Yeah, and you don't have the possibility. When you learn how to use the instrument and to collect the data, sometimes you have to be flexible to put everything out of the field. But one of the things that I am trying to move the view is that the people understand that monitoring is one way to save money. Is no one way, monitoring is not expensive. If you use the right techniques and you monitoring the things that are important. Always is something like a joke. I know that sometimes I have good and sometimes bad comments, but I always say that fieldwork monitoring is something that philosophy we have to learn from the from ladies. And the reason is very easy. When you start to see a lady or a man, when they are, for example, 75, normally ladies are healthier than the man. And when you start to see how they live the last days of their life, normally they are happier, they are they have better condition. And the reason, when you start to analyze why, normally when a lady has a problem or they are, for example, 40, they start to monitor themselves. They go and has analysis and they start to correct. They spend for the next 30, 35, less money in medicines with doctors and something like that. In contrast, normally men goes to the doctor or start to look a solution when they have the problem. That's the one way that I am trying to learn. And it's something that sometimes we have to see. And it's one way that we are trying to do with field work, with many work that we have that looks that can be expensive, but at the end, with the time, is one way to save and to be more efficient.
I really like this answer. It was completely unexpected, but I really like it. Do you have a favorite field work place?
No. To be honest, sometimes change with the time, and happens like perhaps for many people that is doing or carrying out research. Sometimes you start to look, when you start to learn, when some thing is new, when it's a challenge, that place is the best of the world. But with the time, if you continue working that, normally the interest change. And I think it's very important to be uncomfortable always and to have this necessity to learn, this necessity to improve, this necessity to discover. And you start to see that any place in the world is with a lot of interest. I think that is very, very important, that part in research, that always you have a new challenge. I like a lot to work in tropical areas, the Caribbean is the area that I have been working best, but sometimes when I have to go to the Pacific or to work in Europe or to work in other parts, always I enjoy it because you have to learn. And I think that is very important for any researcher. And that doesn't mean that a researcher is necessary an academic. Sometimes there are many people, perhaps you have that experience, people that doesn't have the background or the paper, but they are natural researcher and they are trying to learn and they are asking when they are helping. And I think that is very important.
That's good. What is the strangest thing that you have seen at the coast?
Well, it's common, but I can understand. I can say that sometimes the people is polluting the water that they are drinking. And I can understand. And to me, that is very, very strange. Sometimes that happens in Mexico and in many places in the world that, for example, the people use many resources and at the end of the day, they in few meters, they want to have clean beaches, fresh water and everything. And to me, that is very, very strange. It's like to go to the bathroom and to try to have there a meal. And to me, it's as strange as that. But that is very common, sadly.
Yes, it is common. Trying to forget the metaphor now. Okay, going back to science. Do you think that we can predict long-term morphodynamic changes beyond the Kdel scales?
No, no. That we are unable, well, now I think with the knowledge that we have, we know how, for example, a beach can erode, but it's very difficult to predict how a beach will recover. And that is in the short term. And the reason is that much of the tools, for example, for recovering process or this part that we have the oscillation in the time, we are looking always the negative part. And when there is something positive, we believe that that is normal. That is one of the way. In the other hand, is that normally the physical processes has a lot of relation with the geopart that we have some understanding. But something that is very complicated is in terms of the biopart. How the vegetation restart, grow, the fauna that we have associated to that, how it's moving. Sometimes, for example, in the last perhaps 25, 30 years, we have been talking about invasive species, but now it's very difficult to find a pristine place. And now much of the challenge that we have are with native species that behave as a invasive species. In the case, for example, the Caribbean, now it's with the sargassum. In the case of other places, it's with other kind of structure. I think we can have some idea, but if we predict something that happened, perhaps is that we make many, many mistakes on the way.
Fair enough. Okay. So the next question is about thinking forward. And the question is, can you think of a major advance in coastal science that will happen in the next 50 years? You can think that way, or you could also speak of something that you really want to happen.
Well, one of the things is that will, I hope, is that we change the energy matrix in general. One way to use in a better way the energy that is in the ocean, because the resources are sufficient to provide another way that the humans being goes in the same direction or in the same fluxes with the nature. It's one way. I don't think that we need much fossil fuels, or we have to balance. And with that energy, one way that we will learn, I think, is that the best way to storage energy is with fresh water. It's one way that can save many, many ecosystems. In when we are thinking, for example, now I have the opportunity to talk with people that is in Australia and New Zealand that are very developed in terms of the knowledge, in terms of society. But our largest challenge are in Africa, in the Southeast Asia, that are our as a humanity. And I think there are a lot of room to improve there. And for them, the most important is to have fresh water and energy. And it's something that I hope that happen in the next 10, 20 years.
So you already touched a little bit on this, that you enjoy it. But the question is, which other contributions to society do you do through your work?
Perhaps the most important is capacity building. Is one way, to me, one way to see if my work or my efforts are success or not is not in terms of the numbers of papers or chapters or something like that, is to see that my former students are successful and they are able to do things faster and deeper than me. If they are successful and more successful than me, that to me is one way to say my contribution has a positive output. There are many reasons. For example, in developed countries, the capacities, the human capacities are different. We need more people that are able to sort out problems in tropical areas. I think that is quite important. Yeah? And to me, that is the most important in my job.
What was the best or worst advice that you have ever received? Or what would you say to your former self?
Yes, perhaps I have to say something that is very complicated in some tropical countries, and I have to be honest with that. But much of the horrible thing that we have to face sometimes is corruption. Sometimes I had the experience to go to some countries or to some places where you have a politician and say you have to sort out this problem because it's in his or her interest and they are not looking something that is honest. And sometimes they use public money for that. And they say that is the only way that you can be successful, you can have money for research. I can say that to me that has been the worst in my experience. Some advice or sometimes that you have this kind of pressure, and the worst is that sometimes it's not only people living in developing countries. Sometimes are people that has a lot of money that comes from developed countries. That happened a lot with the tourist industry that say, that is my land, that is my money. I don't have any other goal than the profit. That is very, very common and it's horrible. And you have the pressure to say in this advice, do it or nothing. And sometimes it's better, nothing.
Fair enough. Okay. So before going to our final questions, is there something that you would like to say that you haven't had a chance?
Well, yes, especially for the audience that you have, one of the things that I suggest for the people that doesn't have the experience is try to work in another kind of environment. It's one way to understand what is happening in other places, but it's one way also that we learn to love the thing that we have. We start to say that not everything is black, but not necessarily is white. And it's one way also to have a good experience and to have hopes to improve or to preserve or to recover. That is very important to be uncomfortable a little and to say, well, it doesn't matter, it's hot or doesn't matter. I have to care, something like that, but to see what is happening. Especially you live in a very interesting area because everything is very far from Australia and New Zealand. And it's more or less the same for you to go to Africa or to come to America or to go to Europe. It's one of the things, if you can work with people from other places, I'm very sure that you will have nice experience.
No, I have to say I miss international collaborations with the Borussia when I was living in Europe, because here in Australia, even New Zealand is far. Like in the map, they looked so close, but they're not that close. Okay, Rodolfo, now we're going to our final quick questions. Okay. So this is
Okay.
just wrap up. Don't think too much. Just give me the first answer that comes to your mind. Just a couple of words. Favorite band, music, or composer?
Queen Mozart.
Good. Favorite dish or signature dish?
Mexican food. I can say that is a Mexican plate that is unknown, but I like, and also Galician seafood.
Ooh, I like that. Tell us which Mexican dish is your favorite.
I like, for example, enchiladas, tacos, many things in Mexico. There are several qualities, but yes, there is something in Mexico that is called chiles en nogada, that are chiles with nuts and things like that that are not hot, but it's really nice. Sometimes you have the opportunity to test chiles en nogada. It's really nice. I think it's the best Mexican dish.
Okay, cool. Which was the latest book you read?
Write or read?
Read.
Read. Normally are technical books that to enjoy and to read was The Memories of Oscar of Carlos Fuentes.
Okay. What is the weirdest thing on your desk right now?
The micro or me. The micro or me. No, I have only things to write, my phone, something like that, and a cup.
Okay. The microphone looks like a UFO.
Yeah, exactly.
Favorite movie?
As I have some problem with my eyes, I stop to watch movies, and I only watch some news, but normally I prefer radio.
Okay, coffee or tea?
Coffee. Coffee
That's
without a word. Yes.
a strong answer. Okay, thank you very much, Rodolfo, for your time today. It has been great having you in Coast to Cast. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you, everyone, for following us, for listening to us, and for encouraging us. I have to say that the last couple of conferences that I attended, I had a few people coming and saying that they like Coast to Cast, and that's very encouraging. So thank you, and help us spread the word. Thank you very much. See you soon. Bye.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.